Thank you, Dave. So I'd like to now call on Reverend Gray to give us closing remarks. Reverend Gray is from the Emmanuel Gospel Church, as well as the new president of the NDG Black Community Association.
Told that I have 10 minutes, and they must want me to speak as the president of the NDG Black Community Association and not as a preacher, because if they ask me to speak as a preacher, they know that 10 minutes automatically turns into 30. I want to say, first of all, that I'm very encouraged at what I have heard today. I think that the study itself is vital to our community, and I speak both as a pastor and as a president of a community association. I was asked to say to those of us who have remained for the day that we didn't start here. The issues that we talk about, the problems that have been expressed, we didn't start here, but we're here. We've enjoyed many bright periods. We've enjoyed many very effective organizations, the Union United Church, 100 years old, when we talk about faith-based organizations. And out of Union came the NCC, out of Union came the Association of Community Organizations. Out of Union came the Black Theater Workshop, the Black Theater Guild, the Colored Women's Club, the Black Council of Aging, you name it. Out of the church it came. We didn't talk a lot about that today. Hopefully in some venue we will. But it is important to continue to recognize the importance of the faith-based organizations, not necessarily from a religious point of view, but from the point of view of how they can influence and assist in community building. And so that is important. We didn't start here. Somewhere between Matthew DaCosta of 1603 and Marlene Jennings or Yolande James, somewhere between Matthew DaCosta and Yolande James, we got distracted. Somewhere between that, we got distracted within our community. Even though we can applaud Judge Juanita Westmoreland Traore and Daniel Dortelis and Ketley Beauregard and Errol Johnson, who was the first black city councilor in Canada from DDO, the Governor General. We can applaud a lot of things. What we need to hear and where we need to be is asking the question, okay, where do we go from here and how do we get there and who moves this forward? Is it the community organizations? Would it be the churches? Is it Marlene and Juanita and Yolande? I would say more Yolande than the others and you, because we talked about bridging. We talked about that collective effort, French and English. I speak bad English, let alone good French. You know what I'm saying? And so it is your generation, and I think that when we get to the next stage, when we leave here today and go to the next stage, the question has got to be raised, how do we get your generation involved in this? How do we utilize your generation to walk across the Haitian bridge, or the Haitian youth to walk across the English bridge or the African bridge, be it French Africa or Central Africa or Southern Africa? How do we bring together the diaspora in Montreal? How do we do that? I submit that it may not be my generation that can do that. I submit that it is yours. And we've got to find a way to create those alliances. And Dr. King once said that We must build alliances based upon necessity and not necessarily desirability. So go figure. This is critical information. It is a wonderful tool, particularly for organizations like mine. But how do we use the tool? What do we do with all this information? That is what we have to come back together to discuss. I would suggest in a black family meeting where we get all of the stakeholders, and I know that may exclude some people, but sometimes you have to do that. I think we have to have a black family meeting. And we have to air out some dirty laundry, and we have to get past some internal politics so that we can make a difference. And then finally, we talk about all of these issues, be it education and justice and poverty and everything else. The collective political voice is key. But we need to also try to figure out how do we establish a collective economic base. We need to be able to sustain our own institutions. We need to be able to sustain our own organizations. As long as we run to government, and don't get me wrong, government money does not belong to somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Government money does not belong to someone else. Government money belongs to us too. We're taxpayers also. But we've got to find a way with our organizations to become more self-sustaining so that when government money is run out or we bite the hand that feeds us because we become too political, then and they withdraw their enthusiasm from us, then we're still able to do what we need to do and serve our community. We've got to figure that out. And understand, we don't have the luxury, y'all, of doing one thing at a time. We don't. The last comment that David made was those young brothers and sisters, but primarily young brothers who are dropping out of school and dropping into gangs and dropping into prison. And there are some organizations, David, that are responding to those needs. I created a prison ministry program at Union that still exists. We're creating a prison ministry program at Imani. We're going to encourage other pastors to do the same thing so that the young brothers and sisters who have dropped out of school because they have not found any economic light at the end of the educational tunnel, that we let them know that we have not forgotten them. And we do need to create the reinsertion programs, and we haven't done it. So there are a lot of things that we need to do. And these stats will help us. But there are a lot of us who didn't come today, and I started not to, only because everything has changed, but nothing has changed. And the same issues that we talk about in 2010, we were talking about in 2006. And so some of us are really just tired of talking about the issues. And we're ready to move forward. Push us forward, young folk. Push us forward. And for those of us who are in the way, let us know. Either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Seriously. And say it. And say it politely. But say it, because that's the only way that the doors are going to be open. What we want only is access to opportunity. That's all we want, in the public and the private sector, because government can only employ so many people. But there's a lot of work to do. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface. I hope that one day someone will do something just on economic development and empowerment, and how do we deal with the private sector. How do we do that? How do we get into those boardrooms? How do we get in those senior management positions? How do we break the glass ceiling? How do we do that? Because we can only have so many black folk in city government and provincial government and federal government. So we need to be real about moving forward and how we do it. And remember that we've got a lot of help, like Crar. We've got a lot of help. We've got a lot of help out there. And so I guess I only have 9 minutes left, so I won't use them. But it's been a good day. Now those of us, you know, but this has been a mountaintop experience, to be honest. It really has been a mountaintop experience. Now we have to go back into the valley, because there are young brothers and young sisters who are trying to find their way out of the valley. They're Haitian, they're African, they're English. They're stuck. Because poverty is not black or brown or white or yellow or red. Poverty is painful. And poverty is the root cause of all of these things that we're talking about. And until we address poverty and address it in a very real and meaningful way, we'll be back here in 10 years talking about the same thing. But thank you very much for the effort. Thank you very much for the diligence and for the commitment and for your honesty. Thank you very much, Professor, for leading this. And we will use it, because as black folk, man, we've taken some of nothing and made something. So we thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, there are a lot of thanks to go around, and maybe we should begin by thanking Reverend Gray for his insightful comments. And also for doing the impossible, because I don't think he's ever spoken for 9 minutes before or 10, so it's just a double appreciation. You know, just as a few words to wrap up, and to say that this process is not finished, is that the intention is to be able to work with and reach out to community organizations that work with and in the various black communities in order to talk about how, have more discussion about how this study can be useful. So we'll be following up at some point with many of you who have been involved in various ways, as well as people who have not been involved for that purpose. We'd also like to thank everybody that was involved in this entire project. It's too many people to mention, everybody who has participated in this process today. I would particularly like to thank, or I think we should particularly thank, Melissa Calixte and Jonas Julmeyes Leger, sorry, did I get it right? Excuse me. For their insights and just providing an example of possibilities in many ways, as two young people who came and articulated themselves today. So I think they deserve a special round of applause. And I think that's essentially it. Really, thanks for everybody for coming today. We'll be in touch with you soon. I don't know if anybody else has anybody else from the coordinating team has any other closing comments. Or no, Jim, any last words? Anybody? Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't behind the scenes, so I don't know what went on, but you really seemed on top of everything. So I want to thank you for.
So I guess that's it. So I think that's. Okay, then. So we'll be in touch with you soon, and thanks again.